Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
All the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 610.
Sports Radio 610.
Pump day.
Tomorrow is a historic day around here. Banners fly forever. There will be one at the Juice Box, a new one. The second World Series banner will be raised up. The Astros will be champions forever in baseball. Perhaps most importantly in the big picture, baseball will never be the same again. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. It's going to be a same old team, kind of, minus Jose Altuve and minus Michael Brantley. But it's going to be a different sport tomorrow. And this is a big, big day locally, and it's a big day nationally because baseball has needed significant changes for a long time. And we talk about speeding up the game. We talk about marketing. We talk about all these things. And now baseball, this appears to be the most intense effort that baseball has made to improve the game, improve what people have been complaining about for a long time. And tomorrow is going to be a historic day in more ways than one.
We all agree it's changes for the good, right? Because your instinct, your instinct immediately, oh, they're changing this, is kind of bow up, you know, and like, well, I don't know. Why are you changing it? I don't know anyone. I mean, I'm sure there's some out there. You've seen some stories here and there and tweets, et cetera. This is good. It's going to make it faster. It's going to make it higher scoring, a little more action. I frankly love it, and I think fans, as you settle in to the season, are going to love it as well. I'm sitting here trying to think, you're better at this than me, of like things that we were initially against, but you know, ultimately proved like, you know what, it's not that bad a deal. In fact, it's better. Like maybe NIL was one that came to mind.
I was always for that.
Yeah, but I'm saying a lot of people, oh, you're paying the player. No, man, it's good. Look at the Final Four. NIL has a big hand in the teams that are here because there's transfers on these teams. There's players that are getting opportunities that they wouldn't have elsewhere. You know, something like that. I think baseball's in the same boat.
Yeah, baseball is a regional sport. Let's just be honest. It's a regional sport, and when the Astros are doing what they're doing right now, it's great around here. Baseball needs to expand a little bit, and this is going to be the effort. This is going to be the last-ditch effort. It's going to make watching baseball even more exciting, and we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, NFL owners meetings going on. Cal McNair going to speak today. We're going to, I think we might hear from Cal McNair today or.
Cal McNair, where the hell are you? What you hiding for?
He's at the owners meetings. He's not hiding. He'll be there.
Not hiding.
And we'll hear what Cal McNair has to say. Probably a little bit more of a confident Cal McNair, I would say.
He is very smart.
Compared to the last couple of years. So we'll hear what Cal McNair has to say. D'Amico Ryans has already spoken. He's had some interesting stuff to say about the philosophy and culture building and all that type of stuff. Cal McNair.
A linebacker from the Jets who's a tackling machine.
Except he wasn't.
Now, we love these drops. Even Cal loved these drops. What happened when he came into studio, Figgy?
He asked where was his tackling machine drop at.
Yeah, he wanted to hit the button himself. I'm interested. You know, he's been more loose, more approachable, a little more candid. Are we going to see that today? Are people going to start? Because he has a reputation as not, you know, being the best public speaker and maybe a little awkward and all that stuff. Are we going to see a better, fresher Cal McNair today?
Let's go.
I mean, what's he going to be at? He's going to be asked about D'Amico Ryans. He's going to, I mean, what are you going to press him on right now? It does seem like the.
What's the drama?
Yeah, what's the drama? There's well, I'm no, talking about just no Deshaun Watson. No, I'm just saying like where.
His presentation,
yeah,
so to speak.
Well, maybe just the product itself makes him a little bit more confident.
That's true.
Like it was indefensible the last couple of years where this franchise was. Maybe he's just a little bit more proud of the product.
Yeah.
It's possible. But. I don't expect him to go up there and, you know, own the room or anything.
Eat shoe leather, go ahead.
Yeah. he's not going to, you know, just wow the crowd. He's not going to be like a stand-up comic or anything. But I'm thinking he might just be more comfortable and a little more approachable. And like I said, the presentation might be a little smoother. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And plus, you know, I'm sure he has a lot to say that he's going to be asked. He probably will be asked as well about the quarterback position as the owner. He probably will be asked about D'Amico, so it'll be interesting to see.
You have those tight lips, very, very tight lips. He will speak. It's a historic week. We got the Final Four coming to town on Saturday. J-Lo, you were mad at me for something I said yesterday.
All right, you want to go there?
Let's go there. Let's go.
You want to go there, Figgy?
Let's go. In the words of Calvin there, let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
713-572-4610. And Figgy, have your finger on the button. Have your finger on the slime ball button.
Oh, Lopez just ruins every bit we have.
So, minding my own business, I think I was outside with Gibson trying to make sure he could walk. Scrolling through Twitter. And somebody, I think it was Sean was the initial one. Sean Bajani also got in on it. Talking about, you know, these tickets for the Final Four are at $100 or less. Actually, that's what it was. They were retweeting Darren Rovell. And Sean said, I can smell my hundo now or something to that effect. Sean Bajani said something very, very similar. And my response was, I think it actually helps me. Affordable tickets means more purchasers, potentially.
Now, to pull back the curtain, Lopez said that he would give... Not a bet. He would give me, Sean Pendergast, and Sean Bajani $100 each if Saturday's Final Four wasn't full.
Right. And I'm not the arbiter. This is key. Remember this. I didn't say I was going to determine whether it was full or not. I said, you pick. Then I suggested our program director, Parker. And you said, cool. So Parker's going to look at the crowd probably, you know, late in the first game, early in the second game when everybody's there. That would be there, and determine whether it's, quote, full. You know what this son of a bitch across from me did, Figgy?
What'd he do?
I have the tweet in front of me. He said, well, first of all, let me go back for a second. What is the single most slimy, sorry, worst thing that someone who gambles or places money out there can be called? What's the worst thing they can be called? A mooch. A stiff. A welcher.
So in the words of like not paying you or paying the bet off?
Not paying the bet off. Here's the tweet. Quote, there is zero chance that a penny is seen by any of us no matter what happens. And I was like legitimately, I know it's Landry and he likes to tweak me and likes to turn my words upside down and all that other stuff. So a part of me was like, okay, that's just Landry being Landry and poking fun. But this is a public forum. In a public forum, he called me a Welsher on my stake here. And I'm like, seriously? And by the way, not only am I not a Welsher, I have a long record with you, in fact, of paying off every single bet I've ever made. And even when I win bets, unless it's like for $1,000 or $500 or something, if it's a $20 bet, even when I win bets, and I know I've done this with you too, I say, don't worry about it. I'll just revel in the victory.
And that's what I'm saying here. I really don't want your money on this. Because it was...
That's not what it sounded like.
Well, it's the stupidest bet of all time. And I also think that you would try to slick your way out of this. Arbiter or not, there would be an argument. Oh, it was actually full. It was actually full. I feel like you would try to slick your way out of this one. I just don't... The bet... I don't need $100. I don't want $100 for something this silly. It's that bad of a bet. It's that bad of a bet. I don't want it.
Oh, no. This sounds like a slime ball nomination.
Slime me.
Don't want it.
That's not what you said.
Don't want it.
And by
because I know where it's going to go, but I feel like I'm sacrificing my 100 for Pendergast and Bajani's 100 here. Because it would have been debated if I hadn't done that. It would have been, it was full, and it would have been exhausted.
Well, of course it's going to be debated. That's what we do. But if Parker said, you know what, I think it was full, then I don't pay you. If he said, you know what, that wasn't close to full, you don't think I would give you each $100?
No.
You don't think that?
No.
With my record that I just laid out?
No.
I pay off every single
But every bet that you make isn't open for interpretation. And the one thing about you is you'll dig in and you will keep pushing. And that's what would happen here. This is not an open for... This one is open for interpretation because we're going to look and say, does it look full? And then they'll be, well, it was full where it wasn't full. It's not like a this team's going to beat this team type of thing.
But that's us arguing, and I fully expect that to happen. But if Parker said it's not full.
You would say, yes, it was.
Of course I would say that. But, yeah. but would I
and
not,
then what?
But would I not pay off the bet?
I don't know. If you were saying yes, it was, I don't know. I don't know if you
if
would or
Parker
not.
Says it's not full, Figgy... You know, I have never, ever, ever not paid a bet.
Well, like I believe you
this
would
one's
pay.
This open for interpretation.
Yeah,
though.
I would believe you paid a bet, but if you honestly felt like it wasn't, it,
of course
it was
I would
full,
argue it. I would.
Would
argue
you
it.
Pay the bet if you felt like it was full?
If Parker said it's not full, if that's the judge, that's the scoreboard. If you want to use like you know game analogies, the scoreboard is Parker. If he says it wasn't full, I would pay. Now I would argue probably if I thought it was close, but I would pay. In a public forum. Not even playing radio here. Throw me out there as a Welsher, as
you
a
just
mooch.
You just take me out of this bet.
As a stiff.
You just take me out of this bet.
I'm not taking you out of this
I'm
bet.
I'm good. I'm good on this. I'm good on this one. This is y'all's bet. I'm out on it.
You're in.
No,
you're,
I don't
have
want,
a choice.
So how do you... I ain't trying to get in this, but how do you determine if it was full
That's
or not?
Parker, like,
are
Parker
we, does it.
Common sense.
Are we looking at
it's
ticket
usually,
sales?
It's usually common sense, but this is just going to be a Lopez digging in and arguing.
Is it the eye test?
I do that 5 days a week. I don't want to do this on Saturday. I have to deal with Lopez digging in on stuff. I don't want to do it on Saturday. So I'm trying to bail on it. I don't want to do this. I don't want an open for interpretation bet. I have to do this 20 hours a week, I want to just chill, watch some hoop. I'm out of this bet. Don't give me $100. Give Figgy $100 if it's there. Give Figgy my $100. You got it, Figgy. You deserve it. You can have it. I'm not partaking
How about this?
In this?
You just stay in the bet, and then if you win, just slide me the 100.
He can give you the 100. I'm out.
We have.
I'm not doing this.
Here's the thing.
I'm not doing this.
But that has nothing to do with what you did, what you said. And again, Parker is the scoreboard. I'm going to abide by the scoreboard like I always do when I always pay my bets.
No, you pay your bets when there's no interpretation and there's no wiggle room.
But
there's
there
no
won't
arbiter.
Be.
But there's no arbiter needed here. Like, there's no arbiter. Sean, he's going to hold you to it. He's got you. Give Sean the 100. Give Bajani 100. Give Figgy my 100. I don't want to partake in this. I'm out. To quote Shark Tank, call me Mr. Wonderful. I'm out.
You can say what you want, but there's going to be, if Parker determines, the scoreboard determines that it was not full, there's going to be a $100 bill right in front of you on Monday.
I'm out. Don't give me nothing. I'm okay.
That was low, man. That was sorry. Figgy, let's just talk about that. Calling me a Welsher on Twitter.
Damn, man.
Man. When he knows better.
I just think it was such a dumb bet that it's insane to make. With no, there's no, like,
I'm confident
consequence.
I'm confident that it's going to be full.
There's no consequence. It's just throwing $300
hey,
there.
Don't tell my bank there's no consequence.
$300. Good Lord.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. 713-572-4610. Final four coming to town in 2 days. We got a nice little all-staff meeting today.
Yeah.
After the show.
Yeah, they're all going to come from their living rooms and offices to the office, and we're going to have a meeting.
Right down the hall.
It's
going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
How many questions are you going to ask?
None.
Yeah. Biggie, how many questions are you going to ask?
None.
Will Sean ask a question?
Maybe.
Will Seth ask a question?
No. Who asks the most questions?
Out of us?
No, the building. It's got to be someone in sales, right?
No, it's not.
No?
It's not.
It's somebody at another station.
It's one of the guys that has the most momentum right now.
Nick Russo.
Yeah.
Russo. And Russo's the man. Like, Russo is one of the top personalities in town. I don't know how he's even still walking after everything he did during the rodeo, but Nick Russo's the question asker. Yeah. Zero doubt. He is the meeting extender like crazy.
Who was the question asker of 6'10", though?
Sean. No?
I would probably say Clint. I feel like Clint would throw a question
Clint,
in there.
Clint or Sean. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Sean's more of they ask him.
No, Sean asks questions because Sean is a very thoughtful person. And, like, he's unafraid to just, like, wait a minute. Let me ask about that.
No, I think he would do that if we had our own personal meeting just with the 6'10 people.
Yeah.
But a big company meeting, I feel like we all stay a little quiet.
No, I think we would all stay mostly quiet, but if anybody would, it would be Sean.
I like these meetings, though.
I do, sure. Too. Always nice to see people get appreciated for their work. I bet you Figgy wins another award.
They giving away awards?
Yeah. Aren't they doing the, what's it called, Figgy?
Superstar?
Rockstar.
I don't think the Rockstar is this one.
Oh, it's not?
I don't think so. Maybe it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they have a dip contest. I didn't know it was a contest.
Skull, Copenhagen. How far you can spit? Can you drink a beer while you're dipping? That kind of dip contest?
Nah, like a chip and dip.
Oh, chips and dip. Did you bring your famous jalapeno popper dip?
I did.
Atta baby.
You think Figgy's maybe bringing this a little too often? You think Figgy's kind of...
No, it's delicious.
So I actually didn't know it was a dip contest today.
Figgy's brought this dip now twice this month.
Quarter one Rockstar will be announced.
Okay, so there we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's going to be Russo.
But he won the last one.
Deserves it again.
I'm going to say Figgy because he's on a roll. Figgy's on a roll.
I'm going to say it's going to be Russo or...
I'm going to say Engineer.
Engineering always
win it every year.
Engineering should get it all the time.
They win it a lot and they deserve it.
Engineering should get it.
They had to go and stay Warriors.
Every single time. By the way, I do owe Wade Smith a bottle, so there is that. So I've had a bet with Smitty for a while. I never see the guy.
Oh, you welched on a bet, huh?
I owe him some
I would never put that out there.
No, I owe him some Henny.
I certainly wouldn't put it out there.
No doubt. I owe him some Henny.
Yeah.
There is no doubt about that. Maybe the 100 can just go towards the Henny.
There, now you want it again.
And Figgy can keep the change.
Yeah, I told you.
Coming up, could this be a nightmare for the Texans? How the Colts could end up with the best player in the NFL draft and Lamar Jackson next.
How about that?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
How the Indianapolis Colts could not only get Lamar Jackson, but the best player potentially in the NFL draft. Here was Albert Breer. He was on with Dan Patrick. This is what he had to say about all of the rumblings about the Indianapolis Colts landing the former MVP, current disgruntled Ravens quarterback.
I mean, you could. If you want to talk to the Ravens, you could go to the Ravens and ask for that. But if you do that before the draft, aren't the Ravens going to ask for the fourth pick? I think it stands to reason that they're not going to be comfortable with whoever falls to them at four. So if you're the Colts and you don't want to give up the fourth pick for Lamar, what do you do? What you can do is you could wait until after the draft. You could use the fourth pick on, I don't know, Will Anderson, you know, a great defensive player, and then get past the draft. And by the way, when you get past the draft, you're not talking about the fourth pick anymore. You're talking about a 2024 first-round pick and a 2025 first-round pick. They really might not be comfortable with the quarterbacks that fall to them, wherever they're picking inside the top 10. So this could be an alternative where you can use your top 10 pick on another player if you're willing to wait, and then sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet after the draft where you wouldn't be spending this year's pick. You'd be spending picks over the next 2 years, which, you know, you'd figure if Lamar Jackson is on your team, it'd be a much lower pick than the one you have this year.
Okay, so there you go. You wait till after the draft. Who's really going to go in and get Lamar Jackson? He doesn't want to be in Baltimore. This could be a situation where the price actually drops. Indianapolis gets maybe the best player in the draft, if you assume that it's Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, and then they go to him after and they trade for Lamar Jackson. This seems like a pretty big game changer for the Indianapolis Colts and makes you look at this a little bit different. And quite frankly, it seems like a no-brainer from a common sense perspective when it comes to the Colts. Zach Kiefer of The Athletic covers the Colts, probably one of the best beat writers in the country. He said that this is how he could see it playing out as well, where the Colts go through their draft process and then they hit up Baltimore about Lamar Jackson.
It'll be interesting too, because if they don't draft a quarterback, it's going to be pretty much telegraphing to the world, you know, what they're going to do. It's going to be kind of like a mini Aaron Rodgers thing. Like, you know, they're going to try to get you know, Lamar Jackson. So how is that going to affect negotiations? I know it's two first round picks, but you know, just how is it going to affect contract, everything else? And wow, what a get if they do get that. You know, Will Anderson and Lamar Jackson, that would be less than ideal for the division.
It just seems kind of like common sense.
Yeah.
To do, and it would be a very interesting thing, and you would have Bryce Young most likely and Lamar Jackson in the division along with Trevor Lawrence. Tennessee's kind of in no man's land right now. Like all this talk about the teams in the division, and Tennessee's just kind of sitting there. Yeah. They're kind of just sitting there, despite the fact that last year, if Ryan Tannehill doesn't go down, Tennessee is still in the mix. Tennessee's just kind of sitting there watching. I don't even know how they really factor in to what's going on right now with the AFC South. What is their plan? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to just lightly run it back? Or do they have some sort of master plan? Could they maybe draft a quarterback at 10? Like, Tennessee's just kind of – the old Oilers are just there. There's – nothing going on at all.
They're the only team in the division that you don't know where their goal is. Like you know what the goal is with Jacksonville, build around Trevor Lawrence. You know, they've got, you know, obviously Ridley coming in. They've got some, you know, some good pieces, good running back. You know where they're going. You know where the Texans are going. A lot of energy around this team right now. Certainly need a quarterback. You know where the Colts are going. They're telegraphing it, as we just saw. The Titans have to have a plan. What is it? I mean, they have to have some sort of philosophy.
I mean, right now they're trying to clear cap space, and maybe they're just going to try to be that team that hangs around at 9-8 and maybe wins 10 games, and they run it with Ryan Tannehill, and then they have to figure it out. Because right now they got the big cap hit with Tannehill. I don't think they want to extend that. I don't think they want to stretch it out. They're kind of in a situation where they don't, you know, sometimes teams will stretch out money because they want to go, you know, a little bit longer. I don't think they want to go longer with Ryan Tannehill.
They're going to get this done is what they're going
to do. So that's what they're doing. It's kind of a lost season for Tennessee. There's really no – the arrow is pointing down, and the ceiling is pretty low. Meanwhile, in the NFL, at the owners' meetings, Roger Goodell, you, J-Lo, believe that Roger Goodell is lying at a high level during – what many call lying season.
Yeah, and he's there's reason for it. I predicted it yesterday. I said that a lot of players and fans don't want either, you know, flex Thursday night games or more Thursday night games. Well, they tabled the flex, but they're going to have up to two Thursday night games for players. And then Roger Goodell stands up there with his new contract on the way and basically – he knew he was lying. The people in the room, we knew he was lying as well. We knew he was lying, and he kept lying. Why? Amazon and TV. And this is what was kind of lost in his comments. I'll give you a couple of them right here. He said, quote, "I don't think we are putting Amazon over players' interests. We look at data with respect to injuries and impact on players. I think we have data that's very clear. It doesn't show a higher injury rate." But the key thing there is I don't think we're putting Amazon over players' interest.
And just to let people know, we're talking about multiple Thursday night games and flexing Thursday night games.
Well, they tabled the flex, but they're definitely going to do the multiple. Patrick Mahomes immediately tweeted, he used an emoji, but anyway, he didn't like it. And then he said that even if the data, he basically says that they always have the fans' interest in at the priority. Well, they don't.
Why?
Because it's for TV fans. It's not for fans that are traveling to the stadium. Fans like that are going to have to change plans. It's basically an Amazon deal. This is for Amazon. Like, because if you're traveling to a Sunday game, and 10 or 12 days before they say, oh, by the way, it's Thursday, that's not having the fans in the stadium's best interest. By any stretch.
But it's having the TV fans. That's exactly. More fans, right?
It's more fans. But he said we have the fans interested, you know, as a priority.
Maybe the majority of the fans?
TV fans.
Yeah.
TV fans.
In home, I mean, I don't know how it impacts home fans or not. A 12-day warning on Thursday night. I don't know. I'm fine with it. If they want to flex Thursday night. Now, I'm not the guy that has to go out there and play ball, though. You know, 4 days after. So from a player's perspective, I can absolutely understand the outrage and stuff. From a me perspective, watching the game, okay. We watched some pretty bad Thursday games last year. So if you want to make them better, I'm one of the fans that I guess he's, but there's a bunch of point of views here. There's a bunch of stuff. It's not an easy job to be commissioner of the NFL. You know, there's always going to be a position where you go up there. And I'm sure he does have data. Like data.
Oh, I saw it. I looked it up. Yes.
You can use data any way, shape, or form to back up what you want to say. It's like statistics. A lot of people will use statistics to back up their point, and it's selective. So I'm sure he has some sort of data. Thursday night, better Thursday night game? Sign me up for it.
No. I looked it up, the specific report he was talking about. Like, and what the data was like number of injuries on a Thursday night versus number of injuries on a Sunday. And it wasn't that much different. But I don't think that takes into the account the cumulative effect of playing on a short week. And I also don't think it takes into account what your employees almost unanimously, in fact, I can't think of anybody who says, yeah, I love Thursday night games. That's a player. You know, you're not taking into account what your employees are saying is we hate them. It's hard on us. It's difficult, you know, and you're not getting the best product. You know, the players just universally say that, and that's being ignored.
Yeah, the players need to figure out, you know, what they want to do next time they have these CBAs and stuff. Like, that's what they need
to
do.
That's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a fact.
That's their own situation. Like, I'm hearing a lot of complaining, and it's stuff that was agreed to. And maybe the players are just going to have to figure it out. But more Thursday night games, better matchups. From my perspective, sign me up for it. I can understand why players might not like it. The other thing is, I don't think we really have to worry about it around here. If we're talking localized, I don't know how many times people are going to be foaming at the mouth, at least as they sit right now, to, you know, flex the Texans into a primetime spot. We're typically a Sunday at noon spot.
And, be interesting to see how that
and maybe just a random Thursday that gets thrown in the direction. I do wonder, if we're talking about primetime, we're talking about quarterback situations, how much of a draw is Bryce Young? I mean, how much of a draw is that? Will the Texans have multiple primetime games?
I think so, at least.
I mean,
I think so.
You can go up to five, I think. The Texans have been the bare minimum the last couple of years, rightfully so. Does Bryce Young get you more than one? Does he get you a Sunday night? I think you're going to open the season. I think it's kind of clear where the season is going to open. I think the Texans face the Carolina Panthers to open the season. I was talking about potentially Cleveland, but you take the number one and number two pick and you put them against each other week one, Houston Texans versus Carolina Panthers, seems like kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah,
I would be willing to bet that's what the NFL does. Maybe they put that on one of the Monday nighters or something like that, like if they have a doubleheader. Don't know, but I do wonder, like over under 1.5, if I told you to book your bet over under 1.5, if the Texans get Bryce Young, do you think they have over one primetime?
I think it would be over. I think top picks like that, marquee players that are recognizable like Bryce Young will be a draw. I think D'Amico helps. I think having a new coach, especially one, you know, dynamic like that was all over the, you know, our TV screens last playoffs. I think that helps. Yeah, I think they definitely would play more than one. Definitely.
Coming up, the Astros playing baseball tomorrow. Baseball Spo, he's been on the scene. He's been talking to the players. He's been talking to the GM, and he's going to talk to you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Localize It.
Sports Radio 610.
Who they want? Who they want? Who they want? Who they want? Adam Spillane, season begins tomorrow. You excited? You excited for this new form of baseball? Baseball never going to be the same again.
Do you know how the time of game last night at Minute Maid? I think it was 2:23.
Atta baby.
I mean,
you're a happy dude.
Wow. Sign me up. Sign me up for 162 of that.
You are a happy dude.
It's going to be wild, man. Like, it is going to be, like, it's going to be a cool day tomorrow, obviously. The Astros are going to raise the banner, but baseball, they've been trying to make changes. They've done like some little, you know, nicks here and there and tried to figure stuff out. But this is like a significant change. Like, we're watching a completely, I don't want to say a completely different game, but it is going to be interesting. And a lot of people are going to be getting their first taste of this style of baseball. You got a little bit of a taste at spring training and yesterday, but I'm excited for this, man. I'm very excited for this. I think this is going to be one of the most important days when it comes to baseball as we know it.
I wouldn't go that far, because it's not like they've changed the rules to where you only need two strikes for a strikeout, or they, you know, they made the bases 85 feet, you know, from home plate or whatever. It's obviously going to change the way the game is paced. And I think that's going to be the big change, where, you know, in the past you threw a pitch and you could take 35, 40 seconds, sometimes even a minute, especially in certain spots. And you can't do that anymore. No. And it's going to be somewhat exhausting. And I think it, one of the kind of the negatives for the pitchers is that you just can't catch your breath, and you're going to see some rallies. You're going to see some. I think you're going to see some really big innings because of it, because a pitcher just doesn't have a chance to like gather himself and just kind of collect his thoughts when something starts to go really bad.
But isn't that a bigger change than moving the bases back 5 feet? Like you say,
well, no, not 5 feet.
I mean, yeah,
making them bigger.
Yeah, making. Yeah.
No, but you're saying they moved the bases 85 feet instead of 90. I think this is a bigger change than that. Like pace of play, all that. I think this is a bigger change. Like it changes the whole viewing habits. Like what's the number one complaint about baseball? Like the number one complaint about baseball is it takes too long, it's boring, people are scratching their nuts, they're spitting, there's a lot of sitting around, all that. Like this is the biggest change I think baseball could possibly make, more impactful than moving the bases back or something like that.
I think just not just the pitch clock, but the making the bases bigger and the limiting the number of pickoff throws you can make. I think when you put all these in an umbrella, it's the biggest change the sport has probably ever undergone before. So that's where I think it's not just the pitch clock. Obviously, the pitch clock is the big one, and that's the one that has gotten the most attention. But the pickoffs, that's a big thing. I don't know if the bigger bases are that big a deal, but it does matter. The schedule's even different. I mean, you went from playing teams in your division 19 times, going with the unbalanced schedule. Mm. Now you're playing everybody. So it's very much like an NBA-type schedule now where you're playing everybody in the league. So I think that, too, turns into a big change, and it turns into a little bit of a disadvantage for the teams that play in bad divisions where they could just, you know, get fat on really bad opponents, and then all of a sudden they're in the playoffs.
What about just, like, no one, I mentioned this to Landry, I haven't heard anybody who doesn't like it. Forget how it's going to affect it, how big it is. I don't know anybody in baseball that doesn't like the fact that this is happening.
Well, aside from the players. The players hate it. And you heard it during spring training. You're going to hear it a lot, I think, over the, especially the first
early
week.
On, yeah.
It, mostly because they didn't like it in spring training, but the games didn't matter in spring training. The games matter now. And so you are going to have, so you will probably have some games in on a pitch clock violation. And that's going to anger a lot of players.
Yeah.
So you will hear it. I'm a little surprised. You know, I'll be interested to see how MLB reacts when you do start to get those really loud complaints. Because you got them a little bit during spring.
Yeah.
They weren't that loud, but you will start to hear them, I think, especially this.
See, I would argue that's even good. It's going to be more buzz, more talk about it. More airtime, all that good stuff, you know?
Yeah, if any publicity, I guess, is good publicity, but you're still going to have to deal with stuff from the players about them just not liking it. So but again, whenever you change the rules, whenever you have a big rule change like this, you're going to get complaints. So I don't think that's unexpected.
Baseball Spo in the building here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. So no Jose Altuve. Are we going to have Dubon at second base? Is that what we're getting?
It'll be a day-by-day thing. And I think that tomorrow you will have Dubon because you have a ground ball pitcher on the mound. So the better second baseman will be the guy who gets the start. If it's a fly ball pitcher like, you know, Javier or Urquidy or Garcia, then David Hensley will probably get time. You know, Hunter Brown's a ground ball pitcher, so he'll be that'll be Dubon at second base in all likelihood for his start. So I think it'll be kind of a case-by-case thing.
And Peña leadoff?
It seems like that's the way they're leaning. I don't think they're. That's the hard. I think that's the biggest thing with losing Altuve. It's not necessarily his bat. It's just that spot in the order.
Mm-hmm.
Because Peña hit leadoff a little bit last year when Altuve had the hamstring thing early in the year and he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I really like Bregman in the leadoff spot just because I know I'm getting a competitive at bat from him every single time. But that kind of throws off the rest of your lineup and it kind of takes away some of the balance that you have. And I think that Dusty Baker wants to have his guys in the middle of the order stay in the middle of the order.
Did they, and I'm asking the question because I don't know if I believe this myself or not. I think it might be true that they kind of tipped their hand in the level of confidence they have in utility players and the offense at the bottom of the lineup with the makeup of the roster by keeping Yainer Diaz and Corey Jolks, guys that are a little more versatile. Did that kind of tip their hand that they're going to try to, you know, mix and match out there?
Well, I mean, I think they're always going to do that with Maldonado. Maldonado's not going to, you know, they will gladly pinch it for him. I think that the Diaz thing more than anything and having the third catcher, having Salazar on the roster, it kind of shows you they don't really believe in Diaz defensively, at least right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that Diaz will start games behind home plate, but they will certainly be aggressive using him as a pinch hitter. But I do think that carrying the third catcher just kind of shows you the shape of their roster at this point, the 40-man roster, where they just don't have a lot of depth anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you add Corey Joltz from, you know, who was not on the 40-man going into spring. Justin Dearden was, you know, right in the mix for that. And they decided to go with Joltz because he just had a little bit more experience. Corey Lee gets sent down because they want him to play. And so that's why you bring in Salazar. They didn't have a better option than Salazar, and I don't think they believe in Diaz defensively. So I do think that they'll be aggressive. Do I think that they're going to pinch hit Corey Joltz for Chaz McCormick late in games? No, but I do think that you could certainly see them pinch hit for Dubon late in games. That could be with Hensley and just, you know, do a straight-up switch there.
Maybe Maldi?
Well, Maldonado, that'll be the Diaz spot. I mean, Maldonado's going to get pinch hit for late in games. We know that. He's going to catch a ton. He's going to start a majority of the time, and, you know, they'll throw Salazar in there once, maybe twice a week. You excited?
No, I'm not. I
want Maldi to... looks great, by the way. I think he's lost more weight since spring training.
He can look great. That's fine. How'd he hit?
Spring training. I don't know the numbers.
He's in midseason form. He hit 68, I think.
067.
067. So
I think he had a hit in both the spring training games I saw him play, so.
So there you go.
You saw him.
And he had a hit.
You saw his spring.
He had a good World Baseball Classic, too.
Did he?
Yeah. Good for him. Those games mattered.
Good for him. Adam Spillane with us here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I got to ask you, did Stephen Silas cry?
I mean,
Brian Windhorst reported that Stephen Silas cried, and there was a little bit of a retraction. Did Stephen Silas cry? I can see how annoyed you are right now.
Not when he said he did. And the whole thing. So explain this to me, because somebody sent me a screenshot of this whole thing yesterday, and I thought that, okay, they must have written some story about Rockets dysfunction. Okay, I mean, we've seen a million of those over the last 2 years. How do you put something about that in a story about Jabari Smith? It was just so strange.
From 2021.
Well, he thought it was from 2023, but it turns out that it's from a press conference in 2021. It's the game where they lost their 20th in a row, and John Wall broke off an ATO to fire up a 20-footer at the buzzer, and they lost, and Silas was obviously upset for many, many reasons. But the whole thing was just, it was so weird and so bizarre, and I know the Rockets were livid, absolutely livid about this whole thing.
I guess.
Why does it matter?
Because it just makes them...
It does.
Has he cried?
It makes the coach, to me, look weak. And he might be.
Okay, he already looks weak, too.
We've had this conversation before. It does not put the coach in the light that you want him to be in. And it's also a lie. Like, it's not true. Like, if it's one thing, if it's true, it's another thing that if it's not true. And it wasn't true.
So, I didn't think it was, like, too damning, though.
I didn't think it was either. But I think it kind of fed into the narrative that a lot of people have about Silas, which...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He was already considered weak.
Yeah, so the whole thing was just weird. I know the Rockets were absolutely livid about the whole situation yesterday. And, you know, Brian Windhorst has known Stephen Silas for 20 years. I mean, Windhorst was covering the Cavs when Silas was an assistant over there. And Silas helped out for the story. You know, Silas is quoted in the story about Jabari Smith, and yet you tell some... You tell some story about the guy.
I would cry, though, if I had to coach this team.
Do you know how much they pay you, though?
Yeah, I'd cry, though. I would cry. For sure. I'd cry.
You think he'd cry when he get in the car?
Hell yeah, I'd cry.
After practice, just cry.
Stay crying.
Stay crying.
Pull up at the house, just cry a little bit.
I'd have Ray Charles shades on if I had to coach this team.
Mm-hmm.
You kidding me? It's gracious. The thing I don't like about making Silas look weak is I think it's just kind of like separating the general manager from the coach. And hopefully, I mean, in a perfect world, I hope. Like, I 100% hope. I hope Stephen Silas leaves and all problems are solved. That's ideal. I want the Rockets to succeed. That's what I want. But it almost feels like now it's obvious Stephen wasn't right for the job. We can agree on that. But now it's like, well, we got to get rid of him and let's figure it out. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest with each other. You can have a favorable result without a perfect plan. This was not a master plan to be in position to have a 14% chance to get Victor. This was something that played out. You happen to have the perfect train wreck combination of GM and coach to where you were able to have this happen. So the result can still play out. But let's be honest. The fact that you have a coach who wasn't the right guy and a GM who has stunk the last couple of years too is why you got this result. Let's not rewrite history and act like this was some master plan.
I think they planned on being bad again.
Yes, they did.
But not this bad.
But not this bad.
It's
25, 30 wins.
Yeah.
I know 25 was the cap. Yeah. They did not think they would win more than 25 games. I know this. They're at 18 right now. So they're not going to get to 25. Yeah. They will be hard-pressed to get to 20, which is what they had last year. There are times when it looks good. There are times when, you know, you look at Wednesday in Memphis. They look good. They lost the game, but
they played well.
They look good. You know, they were right there with Memphis
that
entire game. They have some good wins. They've beaten Philly. They beat Boston. They've beaten the Lakers. I mean, they didn't have Davis in that game, but they still won the game. Mm-hmm. So they have good results, and there are times when it feels like they are headed in the right direction and they play the right way. And then there are games like the fourth quarter on Monday against the Knicks. And there's the full game on Friday in Memphis two nights later after they play well, where they don't even try. Yeah. And that's the sort of stuff that bothers you. And whoever, you know, whatever they do in the future, it's going to be better next year because it has to be. And they're going to add, you know, they're not going to have a bunch of 20-year-olds in the starting lineup. Like, that's the thing about this group is that you look up and down the starting lineup. The old guys are 22.
Yeah.
The old guys would be young in college, should still be in college at this point. That's what they're trying to, that's what they're going, that's what they're playing with every single night. They're going to add free agents. They're going to add a point guard who's got a beard in all likelihood, and he's going to help organize the offense and give them a somewhat respectable offense, which they haven't had in 3 years.
Yeah.
But so the job, it will look much, much different next year.
Real quick, Astros prediction, division prediction.
It kind of depends to me on the starting pitching.
Sorry, you got to make a prediction.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, man.
This is a long-winded.
We're all doing this.
Oh, my God.
We're all doing this. What are we doing? I'm going to say 93 wins, win the division.
I'm going to say 90.
I'm going to have four questions up on sportsradio610.com.
Okay, McLean.
At some point later today.
Just promote your story here.
We're trying to get web traffic here, Landry. The big thing, how do you replace Verlander? Because you look last year, Framber Valdez and Justin Verlander combined to make 59 starts. They win at least six innings in 81% of those starts. The next three, Javier, Urquidy, and Garcia, combined to make 81 starts. They went six innings in less than half. So you have to be able to get more innings out of your team, out of your starting pitchers, at least those three. Because if you don't, you might win the division, but you're going to wound your bullpen moving forward. So to me, I think they probably get to 96 wins. I think they'll win the division.
He hits the over.
I think the division will be close because I do think Seattle is good. I think Texas is better. I'm not getting sucked into the Angels again this year. The A's are awful. You kind of, you know, the unbalanced schedule hurts you in a way because you don't get 19 games against the A's anymore. That would have been nice to have for them. It's one thing to win 96, but they've got to get more out of those three starting pitchers just in terms of innings.
96 wins, win the division. Rangers second or Mariners second?
Mariners.
Okay. All right, there you go. Baseball spell. Appreciate you, my friend.
Sure thing.
There you go. SportsRadio610.com, the great work of Baseball Spell.
You can see it there.
Coming up, D'Amico Ryans. He addresses the two most important things that will be needed for the Texans to improve, not just this year, but moving forward. We'll give them to you next.
Well, you'd have to read the column I wrote on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.